you have a presentation on working step one.
I will turn the time over to Sarah in Tucson for the presentation.
Thank you, Colleen. First wanted to see if you guys can hear me okay. We're used to being on the hearing side.
Can everyone hear us? Yeah, Ted is taking that.
Okay, good. I just wanted to say it's my honor to be asked to share from my experience, strength, and hope, and that having said that, I'm going to acknowledge that I'm a little bit nervous, but I have such love for each of you that I trust that you'll accept me and my awkwardness. In fact, on the way over here, my sweet son of 21 called me, and he's been working on speaking in college, and he said, Mom, and I said, well, I'm going to be speaking tonight. And he said, oh, just have fun with it. And I said, well, I'm coming from my 12-step situation. And he said, oh, well, Mom, just embrace the discomfort then. And so having said that, I'm embracing my discomfort. But I'm also kind of excited because I have turned it over to my higher power, and we'll just see what comes of that. Just to give you a little context on how I have been dealing with the first step. I came to COSA nearly 14 months ago after learning that my husband had been playing out a fantasy with my 16-year-old niece who was under our supervision and care. I had first learned of my husband's pornography addiction 17 years earlier, and so I had been in a place of tolerance of his behavior and awareness to a degree, very much in my own denial, very much in a level of, well, now I've come to accept it, powerlessness. But that occasion is what brought me to my knees. So for me, this first step was almost a given. It was, in fact, it was kind of logical and welcome for me to move into my recovery because I'd been brought to my knees and I wanted help desperately. So as I've been recalling how I approached dealing with the first step, God has been pretty clear to me that I'm still working this first step in some other areas, and so I'm going to endeavor to be a little transparent tonight. So I've been working it for myself in some other areas. I remember Claudia asked us to look at the words powerlessness and unmanageability, and I went back and I did just that. So I don't know if each of you have done any of that for yourself. But for me, powerlessness was really clear. In fact, I had so accepted my own powerlessness that that was sort of how I was living life. But the step of identifying powerlessness is not confined to just sexual compulsive behavior. It's actually over anyone else's behavior but my own and over my own addictions. And that's where I've been really dealing with this, the power, the reality and awareness of this first step. So as a codependent, though, and I look at the word powerlessness, I was looking at how I was learning a better way or desiring a way to own my power rather than being a victim or being controlled or controlling. So powerlessness is in contrast to those things. Because in my powerlessness, I do product in others' lives at the cost of my own. So that's where powerlessness came up. So I was denying my feelings, my wants, my needs, and who I was. I was becoming and behaving in ways to acquire what I perceived as a desired outcome of another. So in other words, what I thought I wanted from someone else or to serve them, that's who I became. So it wasn't really acknowledging my own needs and wants. This resulted in resentments and harms, addictions, and a numbing effect. Essentially, it was the lack of surrendering to my own powerlessness that I recognized. I mean, that was the whole first step for me, is that it was by my lack of surrendering, is that's when I realize how unmanageable it is. It's when I'm trying to control. It's when I'm trying to control the addict, control things that are out of my power. Kind of a given, I guess. So, as I understand it, we spent a bit of time last week on powerlessness. That is giving us a context. So I'm focusing a little bit more on the unmanageability part. So, for me, it was very clear that my life was unmanageable, but I felt, rather than just a generic, yes, my life is unmanageable, to give it words and identify these areas. So, where was it showing up in my life? So, again, part of it is the teacher in me. I wanted to dissect the word unmanageable. But first off, I kind of think, well, one of the things that I remember was going back to that word and it being a little bit of a trigger, even though I was acknowledging my own unmanageability. I was with people, and there was, on occasion, this, wait a minute, I'm not the addict, even though I've since learned about my own addictions, but the whole bringing to my knees was my husband's, his addict behavior. So I remember thinking, you know, why it seems unfair, that I'm having to examine myself. But I also was acknowledging the point that I was there. There wasn't it seemed unfair, yet it seemed logical because I was at this place of desperation. It clearly wasn't manageable. What do I do? I don't think that would be so different for many of you here. So as a co-addict or a codependent or enabler, or whether you decide to identify yourself as any of those or not, I don't get caught up on those terms. The point is that I emphasize myself that there are signs of unmanageability. So I'm going to share the ways that I started identifying mine. And the more I work the steps, the more areas I do this showing up. So if you don't identify with all of them, I wouldn't, the point is there will be some that resonate with you as you work the steps. But, okay, so let me look at the term. So for me, I thought, okay, unmanageability. So kind of the root word there is manage. So what is it to manage my life? Well, to manage my life would be to be in charge of or administer it. That's how I conduct my life and regulate if I'm taking care of myself. So if I'm managing it, I'm doing those things. So if I'm unmanaging it, I'm mismanaging it, I'm neglecting it, I'm ignoring it, I'm bumbling, failing, hurting, these started to resonate more. So when we take it from unmanaged to unmanageability, then the terms that come up would be impulsiveness and disorderliness and imprudence. And imprudence implies unwise and discreet and ill-advised. Now it's starting to prick a little bit. And related to those is cumbersome, inconvenience, troublesome, awkwardness, and difficulty. As I look around the room, I think, discovery, finding out someone in our lives has probably had us do a life or some sort of trauma that we're dealing with, these perhaps are resonating. For me, they very much were. So I needed to grasp the sense of the step rather than just react to the terms of powerlessness and unmanageability. I was able to remove myself as I looked at this and thought, okay, I wanted to be open and willing to the process, because as I entered into doing the 12 steps, ultimately I was seeing, you know, I hear the promises. I want to go. So if this is the process, I'm going to enter into it. So I'm going to go back to my notes here. So powerless, yes, I was powerless over sexual compulsive behavior and what I realized over anyone else's behavior. And having accepted that, it followed that my attempts to maintain my power control, that I had been indeed mismanaging, neglecting, and ignoring my life. This was about my life. So the external signs may appear as if there was or is some forms of management. In other words, that's when I was faced with looking at this unmanageability, there was part of my mind going, well, wait a minute, look at this and this and this and this. So I wasn't denying that my life on one hand had completely fallen apart, but I did make it to work. You know, it was still, my son was functioning. It wasn't about denying one and not acknowledging the other. But for me, leaning into what I want to learn about myself, about what I believe God's showing me, and ultimately in seeking to reach that place of serenity, wholeness. So this is the nugget I got last night. Whenever we try to do what is not our job and that belongs to God is when we become unmanageable. It's due to our own lack of surrender and acceptance of that which belongs to God. And that was really helpful to me. I started dissecting the areas where my life may or may not have been unmanageable. So I'm going to kind of hit upon a few of them. The first step was spiritually. The addict, the addiction, dysfunction, and all of that, how had that shown up in my life? Was it unmanageable? Well, for instance, how was it affecting my relationship with God or my higher power? Those are the questions I asked myself. For me, yes, it definitely showed up. Shame, guilt, my relationships with others, because if they knew this secret, how would they treat me? Why was I tolerating the behavior of my husband? Those are the kind of things that were showing up for me. And spiritually speaking, of course, steps 2 and 3 will address that even more so. Physically, it really showed up for me. In fact, that was another bring me to my knees kind of reality. So not only the sexual addiction and the dysfunction in my marriage and my own illness, but physically, that's where my numbing had shown up. It showed up by me getting, over the years, larger and larger and larger on the outside and smaller and smaller and smaller on the inside. I was trying to maintain control of my life, and yet it was completely, I felt like it was in sham. I mean, we presented ourselves as a family unit, but we weren't dealing honestly and openly. My husband was in his denial, I was in my denial, and we both were putting on a facade for our son. Also other physical signs of my unmanageability. In fact, I gained so much weight, lost it and gained quite a few times, that an ironic but insightful comment by a coworker, we're very close at my office, that said, we're all collectively going to go on Weight Watchers, and there it's clear that you have lost your ability to manage your weight. And now, he was joking to me in a half-way, but that that was a sign. It was so clear to everyone else. And me, but I was in denial. So mentally, oh my goodness, unmanageable. I think that's where we as codependents probably can have a heyday. We might be putting on an exterior image control, but inside, very unmanageable. At least it was for me. I wasn't obsessed about my husband's behavior, but I was becoming more and more obsessed about my own. Because what I wasn't getting from my marriage, I was needing more and more from other people. The other part about the thoughts is that I also allowed my addict's truth to become my truth. Meaning, the things that he either said deliberately or implied through his behavior, I allowed those thoughts to permeate me. So, for instance, because my husband has been a sexual anorexic, there was no sexual exchange. That translated to me that I was undesirable. And that was his, whether that's his truth or not, that I took that on to be mine. Another one was that he said that I was just too much. I needed too much personality, too much whatever, and so I internalized that as well. That I was too emotional. But another one that I still fight is that I'm undeserving. So this kind of thinking permeated in ways that led to my own denial and my own harm and my own unmanageability. Again, I'll emphasize the reality is that unmanageability is when we attempt to manage and control that which we are powerless over. I'm trying to figure this out and control all on my own without God's help. I think that's just a very powerful statement. So I started looking at these areas of unmanageability, then it's the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors just start cycling. My behavior reinforced my thinking, which I felt badly, it just cycled through. Yet, as a classic codependent, I didn't want to appear as out of control as I was, so I fought hard to maintain this functionality and to be responsible on the appearance. So that's why, and I believe I've heard that about other people. I'll share it personally from my own experience, and I can help. But this is very common. In fact, when I told some friends, I'm going to COSA for codependence, you are so not a codependent. And I went, I am so a codependent. 24 years of tolerating the intolerable. It's classic codependency. So the next area, in fact, was about relationships and that I saw unmanageability. And it's likely to be an area that reveals our illness. Since I'm a person that loves people, I love being in relationships. I love interacting. I mean, you know me. You know this is not a hidden thing. But because of my own need, and my own unfulfilled and my own internal unmanageability, instead of being genuine and so forth with others, there was this need to receive from others to give me an esteem that I was not giving to. It wasn't coming from a self-esteem, in other words. So there was definite unmanageability there. Perhaps for yourselves, there was a little bit of this in my life, but maybe there's an image control issue. Outwardly, I've got to put on this or protect something. Maybe in relationships, it's about isolating. Maybe there's a strong dependence on others. So those are questions that you can ask yourself as you look at unmanageability in relationships. And, of course, emotionally, that's where I hit my wall. that was definitely, I could no longer manage my emotions, even in a functional way, once that disclosure or that discovery about my husband and my niece. So that pain and sadness and shame and guilt and fear, that was so overly apparent that I had to seek out some help. I think about what's been shared at COSA meetings and so forth, and recognize that this is often the area where we perhaps most identify our unmanageability. When I think about what's been going on in my life regarding step one and the lack of the powerlessness over so many other areas in my life, not just this sexual compulsive behavior, over my addict, and so forth, but even over my own addictions and my own illness, emotionally, that's where my snare will be. And even this week, that's where I'm taken back. You know, I'm working this. I'm humbled by being asked to share, but also seeking from God, what would you have me, higher power, what would you have me share with these women as they are endeavoring to work through some difficult things. And there it was, my own life being revealed yet again. Once I was just really willing to honestly look at these areas in my life and how unmanageable I was, and I was actually kind of comforted. What was the nice thing about working step one, and that I want to encourage you all, is that now I recognize I'm not responsible for everyone else's lives. That even though there's difficulty of like, oh my gosh, how much instability there is, but then there's also a comfort and a freedom and acceptance that I hadn't been managing in my own interest moved me into what Melody Betty calls the comfortable place, is that, okay, it's all manageable now that you're all released to go do your own life and you're on powerless over you, so I'll stick to my own. There are a lot of really good tools and resources, and as I work the steps, if I needed more understanding, then I utilize them. COSA has wonderful materials, but, you know, there are many fellowships, and as your higher power starts revealing to you your independence, your uniqueness, you know, and what, you know, this is an individual journey, it's an individual discovery, it's an individual recovery, that you'll be directed. So this first step leads to rendering myself powerless, and that I becoming empowered for what I can control. And the best news is that I'm learning to love myself in any circumstance, and I'm learning to embrace the empowerment of my choices about my thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. How are you on time?
We about done?
Yeah, we're about done. It looks like it's 7 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. Any questions, Phoenix? Or should we take a what do we do to take a bye?
Well, I think before we let you go, we need to tell you the homework. Claudia, do you know what the homework is for this week?
Narrative.
Okay. The homework for this week is the narrative. It's on the last page of the COSA booklet. All right.
Okay.
That's page 20.
Okay.
All righty. Any questions, Susan?
Do we have any questions?
Sarah, I have a question for you. Where do we get speakers for the cell phones? We were having a hard time hearing you. You did a great job, though, by the way.
Thank you, Claudia. Last week we put the phone in a bowl, and it sort of amplified it.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Bye. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you.